This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. John Kerry accepted his party's nomination for president last night. In his speech at the Fleet Center in Boston, Kerry said that he'd been tested in battle and that he was better able to prosecute the war on terror. And in a stinging attack on President Bush, he pledged to restore trust and credibility. Kerry promised to be a commander-in-chief who will never mislead the country into war. Here's NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson.
As soon as John Kerry mounted the podium last night, he made it clear he was running for president not as a Democratic senator, certainly not as a Massachusetts liberal, but as an American patriot.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
With that, he gave a crisp salute to his band of brothers assembled on the stage, the 14 crewmates he commanded on swift boats in the Mekong Delta 35 years ago. By now, anyone paying the slightest bit of attention to the campaign knows that John Kerry is a Vietnam veteran. But beyond that, voters don't have a good sense of who Kerry is. Last night, he was introduced by his two daughters, Vanessa and Alexandra, and in his speech, he tried to share a little bit more of his personal life and a sense of humor.
I was born in Fitzsimmons Army Hospital in Colorado when my dad was a pilot in World War II. Now, I am not one to read into things, but guess which wing of the hospital the maternity ward was in? I'm not kidding. I was born in the West Wing.
The Kerry campaign has used this week to paint a clearer picture of the Democratic nominee. Last night, delegates watched a movie about Kerry, directed by a protege of Steven Spielberg and narrated by Morgan Freeman.
Time and again, John Kerry has been there for our nation. A soldier who understands the importance of peace.
Kerry was introduced by another veteran, former Georgia Senator Max Cleland, who lost three limbs in Vietnam.
The Bible tells me that no greater love has a man than to lay down his life for his friends. John Kerry's fellow crewmates, the men I'm honored to share the stage with tonight, are living testimony to his leadership, his courage under fire, and his willingness to risk his life for his fellow Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no greater act of patriotism than that.
Kerry himself didn't dwell on his experience in Vietnam, perhaps because it was a theme the rest of the convention hammered home so relentlessly. But he did say this.
I know what kids go through when they're carrying an M16 in a dangerous place and they can't tell friend from foe. I know what they go through when they're out on patrol at night and they don't know what's coming around the next bend. I know what it's like to write letters home telling your family that everything's all right when you're just not sure that that's true.
Kerry talked about how he was inspired by John F. Kennedy's call to service and how his generation marched for civil rights, the environment, women's rights, and for peace. He said, "We believed we could change the world, and we did."
But we're not finished. The journey isn't complete. The march isn't over. The promise isn't perfected. Tonight, we're setting out again, and together we're going to write the next great chapter of America's story. We have it in our power to change the world, but only if we're true to our ideals. And that starts by telling the truth to the American people. As president, that is my first pledge to you tonight. As president, I will restore trust and credibility to the White House.
That was a stinging rebuke to George W. Bush, who ran in 2000 promising to restore honor and dignity to the Oval Office. Everything Kerry said last night was designed to help voters imagine him in the White House, to feel comfortable with the idea of replacing a sitting president in wartime.
I will be a commander-in-chief who will never mislead us into war. I will have a vice president who will not conduct secret meetings with polluters to rewrite our environmental laws. I will have a secretary of defense who will listen to the advice of the military leaders, and I will appoint an attorney general who will uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Kerry has been criticized for changing his positions and for a leadership style that is all nuance and qualifiers. Kerry tried to turn that charge to his advantage last night, attacking President Bush for being stubborn and ideological.
Now I know that there are those who criticize me for seeing complexities, and I do, because some issues just aren't all that simple. Saying there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq doesn't make it so. Saying we can fight a war on the cheap doesn't make it so. And proclaiming mission accomplished certainly doesn't make it so.
The Kerry speech was heavy on foreign policy, a reflection of his campaign's analysis that Iraq and terrorism will be dominant issues this fall. But Kerry offered no specific exit strategy for Iraq, just his familiar pledge to get more countries to help.
I know what we have to do in Iraq. We need a president who has the credibility to bring our allies to our side and share the burden, reduce the cost to American taxpayers, reduce the risk to American soldiers. That's the right way to get the job done and bring our troops home.
The overriding message of the convention and of Kerry's acceptance speech was that he is resolute enough to handle the war on terrorism.
I defended this country as a young man, and I will defend it as president. Let there be no mistake, I will never hesitate to use force when it is required. Any attack will be met with a swift and a certain response.
One of the best indicators of whether someone is a Republican or a Democratic voter is regular church attendance. President Bush talks openly about his religious beliefs. Kerry doesn't, and last night he explained why.
I don't wear my religion on my sleeve, but faith has given me values and hope to live by from Vietnam to this day, from Sunday to Sunday. I don't want to claim that God is on our side. As Abraham Lincoln told us, I want to pray humbly that we are on God's side.
Last night, Kerry tried to define himself on his own terms and to anticipate and blunt attacks from Republicans. But he laid out no bold new approaches or themes. And that suggests the Kerry campaign is betting that enough voters have already decided they do not want to re-elect George W. Bush, and that Kerry's task is to reassure them that he is an acceptable alternative. The Kerry campaign believes he did that last night. As Kerry's speech ended, the hall exploded with cheers as an avalanche of balloons and confetti rained down on the candidates and their families. Today, the Democratic nominee begins a two-week-long cross-country campaign swing, trying to keep the momentum of the convention going as long as possible. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Boston.
You can get a roundup of convention news, opinion, and analysis, along with audio of NPR's nightly coverage, by going to our website, npr.org.